Long before the fall of man, God designed a master plan. He exchanged the sinner for the sinless one. Jesus left his throne on high, came to earth to bleed and die. He said, Father, not my will, but thine be done.
He is mine.
He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine. Through God's mercy and his grace, he's prepared for us a place. Words cannot describe the matchless beauty there. We will praise the perfect Lamb, King of kings, the great I am. He has made the joys of heaven ours to share. Shed for me, saved forever I shall be. He is mine.
He is mine.
He is mine.
He is mine.
He is mine. I am blessed beyond all measure. He is mine. I have pardon full and free through the blood he shed for me. Saved forever I shall be. He is mine. Saved forever I shall be.
Thank you, thank you. You notice they put the two young guys on the ends, Brother Stover and Jared. Praise the Lord for that, trying to keep them bookend up right there. Good. So, well, it's a joy to be in your presence with the Lord, and here we are in all together and here in the house of God. It's so good to meet Brother Joe. I've heard so many good things about you, and I'm not extremely short, but after seeing him in this pulpit, it makes me want to stand on my tippy toes, but I'm gonna suffer through my shortness. So praise the Lord for him. But again, I've heard so many great things about him, about being in the ministry here, and then God moved him and got him serving in a different capacity. And thank you for that testimony. Praise the Lord. And may we all take it to heart. We're all in God's service. Sometimes I weary hearing when you go to camps and things and people talking about being in full-time Christian service. We're all full-time Christians. I mean, you may get your paycheck from somewhere else. Mine says Buffalo Ridge at the top, but yours may say somewhere else. But we're all full-time Christians. Well, we're supposed to be anyways. And praise the Lord for that. Thank you so much, Brother Joe, for being here. Would you look at Luke chapter number 10? Luke chapter number 10, we're going to look at the parable of the Good Samaritan this morning. We'll look at verse number 30 while you're finding your place there in Luke chapter number 10. I heard this story about they're at the Mint or the wherever they destroy the bills after they've been in circulation for so long, the tens, the 50s, 100s, all that. And I heard about this story. These couple bills were talking. This $100 bill was talking to a $1 bill. I'm not seeing things up here. Got something in front of my face. I remember Pastor Brown who I served with, he said he went to this mental institution one time. He needed to see somebody, and he said, I walked up the steps, and there, as I walked up the steps, I stepped through a cobweb. And he said, sometimes you know how when the sun shines a different way, you can see better if you get it at a different angle. And he said, so I was looking all around trying to find that cobweb, and he said, then I started reaching out to get the cobweb. He said, wasn't too long, one of those guys came over and said, come on, sir, I'll take you back to your room. So, I heard these story about these couple of bills that were talking, $100 bill talking to a dollar bill, and they were both getting ready to be just incinerated, and it was the end of them. And $100 bill said, well, it's been a good life. He said, really? One of them said, really? Yeah. He said, well, yeah, it's been a good life. He said, you know, just, I mean, your average, I guess, casino, car dealer, to the mall, jewelry store, just, you know, I've been passed around all the places. And he said, really? And the $100 bill said to one of them, oh, yeah. He said, well, what's your life been? He said, well, you know, it's not bad. He said, the same old, you know, Baptist church to Methodist church to Presbyterian church. And he said, I've lived a pretty good life. And then finally the $100 bill looked at him and said, what's a church? So, don't let your $100 bill say that. Get him in this offering bucket back there, would you please? Give him a little variety. So, Luke chapter 10, verse number 30, and Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed him half dead. And by the chance there came down a certain priest that day, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. All of us know this story. And likewise a Levite, and you remember the story, he did the same thing. Verse number 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these things, these three rather, thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. I want to preach a little while this morning about this subject. Every story needs a hero. We've deemed this Hero Sunday. And as I was trying to think and pray and study and seek the Lord about what to preach this morning, I want to preach to you about this. Every story needs a hero. I'll get to it just maybe if I tell you again a little bit, it'll be because in my notes there. But Mr. Rogers, not our new song director, we're going to turn him loose tonight, so he'll be leading the singing. Not that Mr. Rogers, Mr. Fred Rogers of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Some people wondered why he was a Presbyterian minister, and some people wondered why he did so many things on his TV show to highlight police officers and people that help and people that serve, and why he would why he would try to highlight people. He said, well, when he was a kid, as he would come upon accidents and known tragedies, whatever was happening, and as a kid does, he always wants to look and see why the lights and why all the things are going on. And he said his mom had made a habit every time that they came upon something that was tragic or just bad, something going on. She would say this, she said, look for the helpers. Meaning, look for the police officers, look for the EMTs, look for, she didn't name all these, but look for the people, the firemen. Instead of looking at that blaze that's going out the windows, look at those people that are helping. And you know, we'd do a lot better if we look for the helpers too. We were driving somewhere yesterday, I guess, Amy and I were, and there was lots of, we were going to that wedding for Brother Roger Cox's daughter married just last night, and we were going over there, I suppose, and there's a bunch of fire trucks over there, and I told Amy, I said, I'm just going to keep on driving. You understand, sometimes we cause wrecks by trying to look and see what's going on over there. But we ought to look. I saw all those lights flashing, and I was reminded again of what Mr. Rogers' mom told him, look for the helpers. And there's helpers in every story if you look at them. And I want to look this morning at the hero as I preach about this, for every story needs a hero. You know, in most states there's laws on the books called Good Samaritan laws, meaning that if you, as an untrained person, there's some of you in this room that are trained, and so you'd be in a different category, but untrained folks like me that could come up on a situation, if I did that with no charge or no pay, no charge for the care, in good faith I tried to help out, even if my help wasn't the best thing, then there's laws that protect somebody. Those are called Good Samaritan laws from this parable right here. And we're honoring today people that make it their life's mission to honor or to help people, and we honor them, but they help people in need. The obvious observation in the first couple verses are that the priest and the Levite, they just pass on. Now the people who should know what to do, they don't do, and the people, the one that nobody expects to do, does do, because nobody, if I could say it like this, nobody liked the Samaritans. Yet the Samaritan, the unlikely candidate, is the one that showed up to help and showed out to give some support to this person who was beat down, almost dead. And so we see that the people that should do didn't, and the people that shouldn't do did. My friend, I'm trying to tell you this morning, if we've got something and God's put in your heart and say, you ought to do it, and don't argue with God. How many of you understand when you argue with God, you are terribly outmatched? And when you argue with God, say, well, God, that wouldn't work, and here's a better idea. Can you imagine? The Almighty God, the Creator God, and here we are saying, God, I got a better idea than what you had. And so we understand if there's something that God's put in your heart to do, like Brother Joe talked about, if there's something God's put in your heart to do, regardless whether you're the most unlikely one, you remember how those yearbooks have the most likely to do this or succeed. You may be the most unlikely to succeed, but if God puts something in your heart, then you certainly ought to go on that side on the road and be as the Good Samaritan was and find the person who needs help. We ought to get down and help some people. The pastor one time was trying to give his the Sunday school teachers and the workers and the youth workers and all that some talk about extending themselves and getting in the lives of people that you serve. And he told those people, those workers, and especially some youth workers, he said, well, I'm the under-shepherd. God wants us. You're an extension of me. And we all work together to get in the lives of people. And this pastor told this group, he said, I've been told that that shepherds are supposed to smell like sheep. And so you workers, we got to start to smell sometimes like sheep. And he meant get down there with them and labor and bear their burdens and help them. And the 7th and 8th grade boys' teacher raised his hand. He said, sir, I understand the sentiment, but are you sure the person that said that shepherds are supposed to smell like sheep ever worked with 7th and 8th grade boys? Have you smelled that group lately? But you get the picture. I wanted you to see in the scriptures this morning three things that God impressed upon me as I was studying and reading and just pondering about this. Verse 33, a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And I want you to look at the next phrase, and when he saw him, I see first of all that he saw him. You know, some of us are going so quick in life and we're so consumed with what we need and what we want and where I'm going and how much of a raise I deserve and what I need to do and how many things need to be improved on my house that I forget totally to look at the people that are having struggles in my life. As I drive past them, I look straight ahead so my eyes don't have to make contact with their eyes. He saw him. The first step in fixing a problem that's around you is for somebody, and you and me included, particularly, to notice the problem, because we understand that until we see a problem, we're very unlikely to fix a problem. The youth pastor in our church years ago had this drawing that was not a drawing, but a computer generated audio stereogram is what it was called. And they were popular there for a while. There was a store in the mall that had them, and it just looked like a bunch of the same image over and over again and hung there in his office. But as you stared at that, if you relaxed your eyes just a little bit, then you could see an image that in 3D, it came out of that picture. Maybe some of you have seen it, but you had to look. At the first glance, it just looked like some mosaic things are mixed around in there. But as you looked and you studied on it, then the image sort of came out. Your eyes relaxed, and there's a technical reason for it, and I didn't understand it then, so I'm certainly not going to try to explain it to you now. But that image came out. And I'm thinking that if you and I would look around and see your neighborhood and see my neighborhood and see this community and the community you drive through to get to work, that we'd start to develop some views of things that we didn't see at first either. And if you notice on your way in, the buses are all parked in different places, and Brother Kermit and Doug put those there because they're doing some work on the parking lot and they're filling cracks. They're going to seal it and all of that. But maybe out of being out of place, they caught your eyes. Oh, yeah, there's those buses. And I want church members to see things in a different way. That's not why we put them in the grass. We put them in there out of necessity, but I want to see it in different ways. But not only do I want you to see the buses and notice them and say, oh, wow, we need to get those on the road soon, and we sure do. But I want you to drive through different areas when you're on your way to work, when you're going to the grocery store, when you're looking here. Listen, folks, there's people everywhere, everywhere that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some of them are pretty and some of them aren't. Some of them all fixed up and their houses are prim and proper and neat and they think they don't need anything. And some of them are living in rundown shacks, but they all need something. Need the gospel. But the first thing that we're going to have to do is see them. As the Bible says, he saw them. He saw him and he had compassion on him. And what you don't have compassion for are the things that you don't look at. And the EMTs and the firemen and the police officers and all the rest, they see some things that maybe you don't see. You'll say, well, that's their job. Well, long before it was their job, I have a suspicion that they started looking. That's what God used in their life to catapult them into that profession or into that job. An EMT passes the same things that you do, but he or she sees the need there. And I've got to help. Not only do we see that he saw him, but look in verse number 34. We see, first of all, in verse number 33, when he saw him. But then in verse number 34, we see that he got personally involved. Let's look there, will you? And went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. That was the measure right at that point to get some antiseptic to help what he could until he got him down further where he could get some real care given to him. So not only did he see him in verse number 34, but he got personally involved in, or verse 33, he saw him in verse number 34, he got personally involved. He went to him and he bound up his wounds. And I want you to see the three most beautiful words in this whole verse, or actually in this whole section, as I was looking at it. They're the first three words of the verse 34. And went to him. Went to him. What was the difference between the Samaritan and the Levite? Levite didn't get close. He actually got further away. What was the difference between him and the him and the priest? The priest didn't go to him. He went further away. But the Samaritan, the most unlikely. If the injured person had been not halfway knocked out, possibly wouldn't have even wanted a Samaritan to mess with him. But the Samaritan went to him. You know, it's a hard thing to do to fix a problem from a distance. You've ever been dressed up in your Sunday best, and yet you've got to take out something that's dirty. You've got to pour some oil out. Maybe you're doing this, that, or the other, and you hold it out from you because you don't want to get it on. You realize how hard that is? As opposed to if you have your old grubby clothes on, you just hold it out there and you take it here where you got a little more control over it. If you're holding it out there and trying to keep it off of you, it's harder to control. Well, you take that and you multiply it by many hundreds of times and you can't reach a problem from here to the bus barn or from here down to Burger King, but what you go down there and actually get involved with it. The Samaritan, the Bible says, went to him. And I'm preaching to some people this morning that God is bringing some things to your mind right now, some problems of people you know. But they're not going to get fixed unless you go to them as the Samaritan did and you bind up the wounds. You said maybe somebody else will do it. Let's try that one out of the judgment seat of Christ. Well, Lord, I just assumed you put it on somebody else's heart. You put it on mine, so I assumed you put it on somebody else's. And God could very well answer, I put it on yours, so I didn't need to put it on anyone else's. He went to him. I heard a story years ago of a little boy that was scared of storms. And when the thunder would crash and the lightning would flash, he would just get more and more scared as it went along. Finally, he couldn't handle it anymore. So he hollered out to his dad, Dad, I'm scared. Please come. And his dad answered back, God's with you. You'll be fine. And he was trying to teach him to be brave. The next time the thunder crashed, the same thing happened. He hollered out to his dad. Daddy was scared. And just he and his dad home alone. And again, it happened a time or two. And the last time his dad said, Son, God's with you. And the boy, not being a smart aleck, He said, I know, Daddy, but I want somebody with skin on him. And we can say all that we want that Jesus is the answer to every housing project within a 50-mile radius of us. But until somebody with skin on him or her goes and helps them, Jesus, and I say this reverently, will be very little help to that person until one of the people that already knows Jesus and with skin on him goes to connect the two. And can I tell you, that's our job. We connect Jesus with people who need him. One bold preacher put it like this, it's just one beggar telling another beggar where he got bread. I want somebody like that. The homeless people don't get fed in the abstract. The wrecks don't get tended to without somebody touching what's going on there. Surgeries aren't performed without involvement. And you and I, we need to get involved. I see that this person saw the need. And I'm asking you this morning to see the need in your area, in our area, to see the need in the areas that you drive down. You say, preacher, I don't know what I can do. I'm just trying to get us to see and admit to the fact that there is something to do before we ever get to a place where what to do. We first got to realize there is a problem, or else we'll never be the solution to that problem. He saw and he got personally involved. But look at verse 35 as we work our way down through. He not only saw and he got involved, but he invested. On the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host. Of his own money, he took the money out of his bag, gave it to the host, and said, whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I'll repay you. Put it on my tab, and as soon as I come back through from my journeys, I'll pay the rest of it for somebody I don't know, for somebody who I don't know if they're thankful, I don't know if they'll be appreciative, I don't know what will happen of all these things, but he invested, regardless of what would be the outcome, he invested in him. He not only got involved, but he invested. I heard about a church, not a church, but I heard about a community fundraiser. Had a breakfast, ham and eggs. And I heard about the farm animals talking to each other. And the chicken was very intently trying to get the hog excited about this fundraiser. And he said, have you noticed what it's called? And the chicken said, yeah, I saw what it's called. And he said, it's ham and eggs. And the pig finally came back to him and said, listen, I'm excited, but not as excited as you, because it's easy for you to get excited. You're making a contribution. I'm making a total commitment. Folks, we've got to invest. Nothing good has ever happened at your house but what you or somebody you paid rolled up their sleeves and got busy on remodel, on redoing and all that. We always know the scenario that needs to happen. Hands have to be laid to the work. No matter whether your hands or you pay somebody, you say, oh, I couldn't do construction work. Well, then you work at your job to get enough money to pay somebody that can do your construction job, and you do that. So hands have to go to the work. Well, the lives of people that I'm pleading for today are no different. I'm coming to Buffalo Ridge on behalf of people who are broken. The ones that need reclaimed. But they're not going to get it unless we come down from our high auditorium and we reach out to them. An EMT, a fireman, a healthcare worker, a doctor, a nurse, office staff, all that. They realize that their industry, and most of them are in it not because it's a pay, although they need that to perform their duties in life. They do that because they feel like this is what I'm supposed to do. They invest themselves. I already told you, my brother's a state trooper in West Virginia. And my brother-in-law, before he went to heaven, was a sheriff's deputy in the county we lived in Rutherford. And both of them, underpaid, probably. I don't know the specifics on that. But I do know this. Both of them spent money out of their own pocket to buy equipment and to buy the things that made their job better and easier so they would serve better. You say, shouldn't the state pay for that? Well, they should, but not in the budget. It's not offered. And so most officers I know, they put as much of their own self and their own money into buying equipment to serve us better. They're invested. And this Good Samaritan, not only was he personally involved, but he was investing. Those that we honor today, the police, the military, the firemen, the healthcare, have invested so much of themselves, that's what makes a good one. And I'm asking us to invest in ourselves, ourselves into the lives of other people. The Good Samaritan could have ignored and instead he engaged. He could have crossed over, but instead he got mixed up in the scene, so to speak. We've got the phrase now, he had skin in the game. And I'm asking us, for the lives of people we don't even yet know, that we get our skin in the game. Aren't you glad somebody got some skin in the game on you? I know I am about me. I wouldn't be standing here today. I wouldn't be a preacher. Wouldn't be saved. I'm thankful that somebody got messy to see us get saved. Don't we owe it to somebody else to get messy to see them come to Christ? Father, bless us now. Lord, thank you for all of the folks that we get to honor today and throughout the day that serve. And Lord, we're certainly grateful for them. But Lord, in this picture of the Good Samaritan, we can't help but pull out the facts. Can't help but pull out the image that some unlikely person helped somebody get to a place where they could get assistance. Lord, somebody helped us spiritually get to a place where we could get assistance. They got us to Jesus. Now, Lord, I pray you'd help us do that same thing for somebody else. My friend, if you're here, and you've taken a hands-off approach to the Christian life. You've tried not to get messy. You've tried not to get down the lives of somebody else. I'm begging you for the sake and the lives of the people that you've yet to meet, and some of you already know, I'm asking you to get hands-on, not literally, but figuratively, get hands-on in their lives so that you can see them come to Christ. Say, oh, preacher, they're already saved. So you can see them take that next step to live for the Lord. So you can see them grow in their Christian life. So you can see them mature and go further so that somebody, you, would do for them what somebody else did for you. Every story needs a hero. I thank God that somebody did all that they could to point me to Jesus. We need to do the same. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been hands off. But you're going to make a commitment today. Say, Lord, before I go to heaven, I need to be the Good Samaritan to somebody. I need to be, I didn't have a clue under heaven what Brother Joe was going to say, but I love what he said. His biggest job is to be a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all of us, folks. Before I'm a pastor, I'm a Christian. Before these fellows are up on the platform, the three of them, before they're assistant pastors, they're representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God. Let's get our hands on the work that God's given to us. Would you stand as